Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it very, very much. Yeah, Michael Douglas told Page Six just a short time ago, quote, "It's very hard to speak badly about the man." He said it's so painful for so many people who really admire him and see what an incredible 3.5 years he's had as president. But I think the tide is turning, he said. What are the effects that this is having on Pennsylvania? Here to talk about it with us, David Urban, the man himself, a man who advised President Trump's successful election in 2016. And he was there all along with him from day one. What's up, my friend? How are you?
I'm good, Rich. How are you? By the way, still advising him. Still advising him. Hopefully,
I know.
Repeat.
I said all the way back from 2016. I didn't mean to say weren't.
Hopefully, we're repeating.
That's right. Absolutely, no doubt about it. I just was giving you credit for being there from day one.
Oh yeah, well, I was. Listen, way back when, not a lot of people believed, and you believe there. You're probably a lot of your listeners believed because they knew, and it's going to be the same thing again in Pennsylvania. You know, you get a vibe. I was telling somebody the other day, 2024 feels a lot like 16, a lot more like 16 than it did 20. And these Democrats are still. I was on the phone, former Governor Ed Rendell, and you know, these guys just aren't in touch with reality. They are going to lose and lose badly, and they're still, you know, riding with Biden just like Bob Casey is, and he's going to go down. He's going to end up losing. And to your point, and what's it doing down ballot? You know, think about having a giant anchor around your neck. Dragging it across all 67 counties as you try to win a race. My buddy Dave McCormick is out there meeting everybody where they are, traveling around in the bus. You know, I did this with our own Specter. It's no mean feat to get across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It's a big state, and Dave's out there doing it and shaking hands and kissing babies and introducing himself. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to end up with the W here. Bob Casey's scared. He's never had a tough race in his life. And, you know, the numbers continue to shrink. His numbers shrink and shrink and shrink. He's got nothing to point to in terms of accomplishment. Bob Casey's a nice guy, but nice guy doesn't get you anywhere. We need people who fight for Pennsylvanians. We need someone who's going to be there for us, like Davis.
Yeah, well, listen, nobody knows Pennsylvania better than you, David Urban. And you were Specter's chief of staff, and you're advising Trump, you're advising McCormick. You know the Commonwealth, you know it, and I'm glad those guys are using your insight. The new poll that came out shows that Casey's lead over McCormick is disappearing because of Biden's debate performance. I mean, the down ballot effect here is absolutely there. Yet he continues to stand with him. Fetterman does too. Do you think that's going to change at all as this hemorrhaging continues of Biden?
No, look, they are stuck. They are stuck with Biden. I mean, they're 100% on Team Biden. And they cannot get unstuck. And so, you know, they're going to go down with the ship. They made a choice. Listen, they had a choice. We all knew this was happening. We all knew we saw this. Everybody saw it. You saw it. I saw it. Everyone saw it. And we were told by Corinne Jean-Pierre and others, hey, listen, it's a deep fake. This isn't really what's going on. That's all fake news, right? It's fake. But listen, Rich, I knew when Joe Biden took a pass on a softball interview during the Super Bowl, right? Every president does that. I mean, it's a joke. It's softball stuff, right? And Biden took a pass. I knew then something was up, and you knew it too. Everyone did. But yet, you know, the New York Times, all these other people there, oh, no, it's, you know, ageism, you're this, you're that. I look at this, Rich. Every reporter who wrote a 25th Amendment article about Donald Trump during his presidency, a guy who's incredibly fit, vigorous, mentally fit, may not like his presidency, but he's a very fit guy. All these reporters wrote day in, day out about the 25th Amendment. Not one of them now is peeping about the 25th Amendment when Joe Biden clearly is in control of his faculties. And look, you know, people see that. They saw the debate. And for Bob Casey to walk around and say, well, it's not up for me to decide, you know, to talk about the president. I mean, he just got to come out and say, look, Joe Biden may not be up for the job. He's a little bit older. I mean, he's saying nothing. He's kind of trying to avoid it. He's trying to have it both ways, not talk about it. And yet, you know, just not associate himself with the former president, who's wildly unpopular and clearly not up for the job. And his vice president is even more unpopular. So the Biden-Harris ticket, I think, is a death knell for Democrats down ballot in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and good. I mean, I'm glad because we need McCormick in the Senate. We can flip the Senate. We can take control. We certainly need Trump back in the White House, no doubt about it. And I know you talk to Dave daily almost. So when you're talking to him, what are the biggest issues he's hearing from Pennsylvania voters right now?
Border is a big deal in Pennsylvania, right? Immigration is a huge, huge problem across the United States. Fentanyl, but Pennsylvania has more people dying in fentanyl than wars every year, right? I mean, you're losing 5,000 Pennsylvanians a year to fentanyl deaths coming across our southern border, unsecured, completely open. Both the president and the vice president said our borders are secure when they're clearly not. They've had more people come through during the Biden administration. Almost 10 million people came through illegally that we know about, right? We gave them a ticket and said, come back in a few years for a court date. Those are the people we know about, not the hundreds of thousands or millions that we don't know about. So he's, hearing about that. He's hearing about, people are afraid not only their personal security, but, in Philadelphia, you see these total nutcase kids running around causing problems, flash mobs and the like. People are afraid for their financial security. 56-57% of Americans can't put their hands on $1,000, and things have gotten dramatically worse during this administration. You can't afford to fill up your gas tank, can't afford to get a mortgage. And at the same time, the Biden administration is giving away billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in student loan forgiveness to kids who just made bad choices, right? They just made bad choices. And working class Pennsylvanians, right, they're not getting the same relief as some of these, dumb kids who decided to be, an art history major from Swarthmore and wonder why they can't get a job and have $250,000 of debt. Well, let me tell you, maybe go become a rigger or welder in Pennsylvania, go work in the gas and oil industry. Learn a trade. There's lots of places in Pennsylvania that are jobs. There are jobs that you got to make good choices, and we shouldn't be rewarding bad choices. And the Biden administration has done just that, and they're buying votes of this, Rich, and they're crowing about it. So just amazing to me that they're even in the race at this point at all. And we'll see. I think our chances are, really, really good. I'm excited to see who President Trump chooses as the vice president. I think we have an embarrassment of riches on our side. I would like to see any one of the people that's being talked about, plus a long list of others, right? My former classmate and friend Mike Pompeo, my friend Sarah Huckabee Sanders, my friend Glenn Youngkin, right? There are lots of people that could be really good vice presidents that are kind of waiting in the wings, and we've got a good team, and I'm excited to get this convention behind us and start campaigning again in Pennsylvania.
Now, obviously, we don't know if Biden's going to survive this or not. No one knows. But I've heard people say that if he doesn't, if Kamala Harris becomes the nominee, Josh Shapiro could be her running mate. What do you think the impact of that would be, if anything, on the race? Does Josh Shapiro help Democrats in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, he does. I mean, Josh is an incredible. I've known Josh Shapiro since 1996. Okay, when I went to 97, excuse me, late 96, early 97. When I became an Arnold Specter's chief of staff, Josh was Joe Huffle's chief of staff, a name that some of your listeners may remember, Congressman Huffle in Montgomery County there. And Josh has been in politics for a long time, county commissioner, right? Bernie Jones, got a lot of friends on both sides of the aisle. He and I don't agree 100% on the issues, but he's a pretty reasonable guy in lots of things and has a lot of friends in Pennsylvania, so he'd be a tough addition. But I don't know, would Josh Shapiro want to hook himself to a sinking ship in Kamala Harris, right? Do you want to? I mean, Josh is a pretty popular guy. Do you want to go down and flames with Kamala Harris? Because her numbers are worse than Joe Biden's numbers. Now, the question I have, Rich, for Kamala Harris is, she had this interview with Andrew Ross Sorkin, Deal Book, I don't know, maybe a year, 6 months ago. And he asked her about, was Joe Biden fit for office? And she said, of course he's fit. She took umbrage with the question and kind of got all, huffy. He asked her, Madam Vice President, if there were a point in time when he was suffering, would you tell us? And she said, oh, absolutely, I would. I would absolutely tell the American people, right? So the question to her is, were you not looped in and didn't know? So are you incompetent, right? Or are you a part of the cover-up? Are you a part of the massive cover-up that kept this from the American people for so long? And, she has to answer some real questions, I think. So, her numbers are, she's in the low 30s as well. So, if you're Josh, do you really want to tie yourself to that ship? I'm not sure.
And that's a great point. He'd be smart to just wait it out, honestly. He really would.
Josh is a talented guy. He's got a good record in Pennsylvania. If I was Josh, I'd sit on the sidelines, and I would stay clear from the blast zone here with remember in the movie The Titanic when the ship sunk and all the people got sucked underwater with it?
Oh, like, yeah.
Josh needs to swim away from the Titanic as fast as he can.
David Urban's with me. He, of course, a political commentator. You can see him on CNN. He's a senior advisor to former President Donald Trump, helping with the campaign, of course, as he has been since 2016. Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I think some people were worried about that. But I think Kamala Harris is even bigger a disaster than Joe Biden is for them. Now, the other question I want to ask you, too, was in terms of between now and November, and, you know, there's a great effort that's going on right now. Our mutual friend Linda Kearns is involved, ProtectTheVote.com. The RNC chairman, Michael Whatley, was in town with Laura Trump about this, getting poll watchers out there, making sure that the shenanigans don't happen, making sure we have election integrity, and mail-in ballots, too. And Republicans having to take advantage of mail-in ballots this time around, not fight it because it's not going away, at least not now. So embrace it, right?
Rich, listen, I can't tell people enough everywhere I go in America, Pennsylvania, Florida, every place you go, vote by mail, bank votes. Listen, here's why it helps, just from a practical standpoint, right? If you vote early and vote by mail, you get your ballot in, then that local party sees, oh, Rich Zioli voted, David Urban voted, John Smith didn't vote. So on election day, come election day, they go knock on John Smith's door. They don't bother sending people to you and my doors because they already know we voted. And interestingly also, in a lot of jurisdictions, you have the opportunity to cure. So if you fill out your ballot incorrectly, right, you don't sign it, you do something, you mess up, they can call your local party, say, hey, Rich, you didn't sign the privacy envelope. Let me send you a new one. Sign it so you can make sure that vote gets counted. We need to bank votes. John Fetterman, interestingly, before his first debate, by his terrible debate with Dr. Oz, you guys probably remember that, your listeners, John Fetterman was up by 1.5 million votes by that point in time. 1.5 million people had voted by mail before that first debate. That's how important voting by mail is. So vote by mail. Listen, I would love to see none of that stuff happen. I would love one day, federal holiday, election day, everybody votes. You got a purple finger, right? You need an ID, paper ballots. By 1 o'clock in the morning, everybody knows who won the election, right? We should be able to do that. It's America. We send people to the moon. We get the best defense. We do incredible things. The notion that we can't hold an election in one day is just mind-boggling. But until that day comes, let's take advantage of all the things that the Democrats took advantage of and kicked our ass on, right? I mean, they're really good at it, Rich. They're good at it because they're used to working in cities where they're big, you know, the unions get out, drag people out. You're going to community centers and you know, public housing where they're high-density people, and they can just drag people out, get people to vote. You know, Republicans generally haven't been good at it, and we need to get better at it. We need to kick their ass. And if we don't, it's our fault because we know what the rules are, and we need to play by the same rules.
Yeah, well said, my friend. So Casey's lead shrinks as the Trump margin over Biden grows in Pennsylvania. David Urban, always appreciate it. I hope I see you in Milwaukee next week. If so,
yeah, Rich,
come by.
You'll see me for sure. I'm going to come by the show and be on again. Have me in live.
All right, good. Excellent. I look forward to it, buddy. All right, thank you.
Okay, buddy. Let's go. See you, man.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so as we continue today on the show, a lot going on, a lot of breaking news. The other question for you is how will Biden do at his big boy press conference tonight? I don't think he can tie his shoes, actually. I think he's using Velcro at this point. Absolutely rocking the Velcro. Look, it's what you do when you're a little kid or a very, very, very old person. So he's rocking Velcro shoes, so no, he won't be able to tie his shoes. I'm still working on getting Patrick to tie his. He's 9 and a half. It's a struggle. I don't know. Maybe it was easier at one point. I don't remember what it was like for me when I learned to tie my shoes. I'm sure Mama Zioli was all over me, but the point is Biden can't tie his. And I want to just continue a little bit on that CNN story because I think it's really important to emphasize this point. This has been a cover-up. An absolute cover-up of the highest degree of the president's health. No question about it. There's an absolute cover-up. Joe Biden, we've all known. Biden's biographer, Chris Whipple, revealed that the White House only allowed him to interview Biden through written questions. And Biden provided written answers. Who do you think wrote those answers? Think Biden did? Please, stop. So here's one of these senators, John Tester. Now, this guy's in a tight race. Tester's in a very tight race. He's losing his Senate seat to Tim Sheehy, which is sort of crazy since Tester has been in the Senate for 17 years. But, you know, I think people get fed up with these guys. But he's losing in every poll right now, according to 538. So Tester is at the airport, he and his staff, and somebody confronts him. First of all, the dude looks like a cartoon character at this point. He's got a huge belly. He's wearing khaki pants that are below his butt. Well, he does. He looks like a big, giant cartoon character. I don't know who he's fooling here. But anyway, they walk up, they ask him, and he's got some snarky little Gen Z. They're younger than millennials, right, Gen Z?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hate them even more. So some Gen Z staff member trying to get the cameras away from him. Anyway, take a listen.
Senator Tester, do you think Joe Biden is mentally fit to be president?
Sir, I'm his senator's press secretary. Can I give you my business card?
You may, but I got a question for him.
Are you looking to get in touch with our press office?
He's right here. Senator Tester, do you think that Joe Biden is mentally fit to be president?
I can get you something.
You think he's mentally fit to be president?
If you could just take this, here's the card.
Thank you. Senator.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you looking to get in touch with our press office? No, I'm looking at talking to the senator. He's right freaking here. Why can't he answer? And Tester doesn't say a word. It's this little Gen Z annoying little twerp. This little twerp by his side runs around trying to block him from talking to the United States senator. This guy, what a profile and courage, Senator Tester. You hack. And then he walks right to the TSA pre-check and keeps going. Well, these guys are running. They all want to try to run away from this right now, but they can't. And so what's happening right now is that some of them are waiting until the NATO summit concludes, and then, you know, at that point, it's over at this point, and no way Biden survives this. There's just no way Biden survives this. Let me play this clip for you. This is, let's see here now. This is 855. I'll give you the number real quick. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Let's see this. I got this clip for you. Where is it now? I did. We have so much audio, Matt DeSantis, I can't remember what I was going to play.
What were you looking for?
I don't remember. Bennett. That's it. Michael Bennett. CNN talked to Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado, who also thinks that Biden is going to lose. Cut 13.
My colleague Dana Bash reported that you, Senator John Tester, and Senator Sherrod Brown all said during that lunch that you don't think President Biden can win in 2024. Is that true?
Well, it's true that I said that. And I did say that behind closed doors. And you guys and others asked whether I had said it. And that is what I said. So I figured I should come here and say it publicly.
Why do you think he can't win in November?
I just think this race is on a trajectory that is very worrisome if you care about the future of this country. Joe Biden was 9 points up at this time, the last time he was running. Hillary Clinton was 5 points up. This is the first time in more than 20 years that a Republican president has been up in this part of the campaign. Donald Trump is on track, I think, to win this election and maybe win it by a landslide and take with him the Senate and the House.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that. All right. So the dam is not going to hold. No doubt about it. And we are about 2 hours away from the big boy press conference. Joe, you're such a big boy, Joe. You did so good. Didn't he do good? He answered every question. Big boy. All right. So we'll cover that for you live tonight, assuming Biden is anywhere close to being on time. And we'll see. Now, listen, when it comes to summer, please do not let summer just pass before your eyes without making your vacation plans. And I know times are tough right now. I get it. But please, you don't want to forego that summer vacation. You don't want to do that because summer vacations are wonderful times to make memories, memories that will last you forever. Really. I mean, some of my best memories as a kid were going to the Jersey Shore when I was a kid. And we love taking our kids to the shore. They love playing in the sand and sandcastles, all of it. Well, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey makes it easy for you to have that incredible summer vacation. They make it easy and they make it affordable too. Because when you stay at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, you get resort credits. They give you money back to spend at the resort on breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Hemingway's restaurant, drinks at the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, or the gift shop. And the rooms, suites, and townhomes at the Grand Hotel have kitchenettes and refrigerators. So you can even save a little money by making the kids some lunch, keeping some drinks in the room, and then use your resort credits to enjoy the amenities. And your kids, you will love the outdoor heated pool, the indoor heated pool. The Grand also makes a great place for a romantic getaway as well. And Cape May is a wonderful town to be. to be in. It's so much to do. Great restaurants, great shops. You'll love it. And the Grand Hotel is right across the street from the beach. So it's right beachfront. It's right there. It's right there, the Oceanfront Grand Hotel. So what I want you to do is make your reservation, because this July midweek special with the resort credits expires on July 18th. So you got to do it today. Make your reservation by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Always book direct with them for the best rates. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. It's my happy place. And remember, you will be happy with your summer memories. They make it easy. They make it affordable. They make it memorable. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
I want to thank all the great tweets that were coming in, too. Apparently now Chris Eppolito just tweeted that Congressman Greg Stanton of Arizona has just called on Joe Biden to step aside as the Democrat nominee. And he writes the following, as he is the, let's see, congressman for Arizona's 4th District. He says, one of President Biden's early supporters. I was there. I endorsed his candidacy for president, and I'm proud of that decision. President Biden has been one of our country's most effective, blah, 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 blah. The Democrat Party must have a nominee who can effectively make the case against Trump and have the confidence of the American people to handle the rigors of the hardest job on the planet for the next 4 years for the sake of American democracy and to continue to make progress on our shared priorities. I believe it's time for the president to step aside as our nominee. Now, Matt DeSantis, why did Chris Eppolito send this to me and not you? What are you doing in there? Why are you not monitoring breaking news?
I am monitoring.
Why does Chris Eppolito have to send this to me?
Well, Chris is smarter than I am, evidently.
I mean, clearly. What, if the New York Times doesn't have it, you don't have it? Is that how this works?
No, I monitor the New York Times. I monitor Twitter. I'm on the Wall Street Journal withdrawal watch page right now, where they have the complete breakdown of senators and representatives that tell you whether or not they think Biden should withdraw.
They have a withdrawal watch page?
They do.
Oh, that's amazing.
I can give you the numbers right now. So,
oh, yes.
This is Democrats only, obviously. But there are, so representatives, there are 46 representatives that say explicitly they want Biden to stay in the race. There are 6 that have said they're concerned. And there are 11 that have said that he needs to step down immediately. Then in the Senate, we have 11 that have said he should stay in the race, 5 who have expressed concern, and 1 who was Peter Welch that said he should step down. And now I guess we have a second.
Wow.
So there,
look at that.
And there are 30 members of the Senate, Democrat members, that have not commented either way, and 150 members of the House that haven't commented either way.
Interesting. So now they're all waiting till after NATO ends. When does NATO end? Today?
I believe so. He's coming back, so I would think.
So this press conference is make or break. It's the big boy pants press conference.
I mean, they keep pushing it back later and later. They're not doing them any favors. I don't understand that at all.
Well, that's the key point. They don't want to do him any favors. They want him gone.
you think he still has some say over his administration.
He doesn't know what freaking day it is. He just wants to know if he's getting devil dogs when it's over. DeSantis, these are the same people that let him on the debate stage in the first place in June.
Yeah, well, that was clearly a mistake.
Well, yeah, you think?
Well, look, I've said before, I still think he's going to be their nominee.
All right, let's make it interesting. Right, let's make a bet.
What's the bet?
I don't know. We both work in radio. We have nothing. We're both staying at a Fleabag motel next week at the RNC.
I'm looking forward to my bed bugs.
Thank God I'm married and you have a girlfriend, because there's no way chicks are coming back to that place with us.
No. I haven't looked that close.
I don't even think hookers would, actually. I don't even think they would. I think they'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, where are you staying? Oh, we're staying at the airport. Oh, yeah, no. You know what? I think I'm going to go find God.
Even the hookers are like, geez, that place is beneath even me.
Like, I can't. No, I'm sorry, but I can't. Ouch. And they bring in hookers during these kind of conventions, I'm told. So,
oh, do they?
Yeah, oh, always. Yeah. Yeah. Because people in politics, you know. So
I guess any big gathering, you're going to see a fair amount of hookers, because isn't the Super Bowl kind of like the hooker Super Bowl? Like, they all just flock to the city that's hosting.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, a lot of people in politics need to remember that there's always cameras. Everybody's always watching. You know, I mean, I'm a happily married guy, Matt Sandis, but I'm also, you know, a big star now, you know, on Fox News and whatnot. So I can't, you know, sorry. Sorry, ladies.
Yeah, you don't want to end up like Robert Kraft.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. Plus, I couldn't afford it. I don't have any. I work in radio.
No.
There's no money.
We can't expense that.
Oh, can you imagine if I try to concur that?
Stalker concur would be so angry.
What is this for companionship? Well, it was a long week. And, you know, just got tired of the speeches and whatnot. So
the companionship angle is pretty clever.
And then you go, well, then why'd you have to get another hotel room? You had a hotel. Well, because she wouldn't go back to that flea bag motel you booked us in. That's why.
She had taste.
Yeah, she had taste. but can I? All right, so fine. I can't expense that. Can I expense this coffee and donut for $1.50? No. All right, fine. Fine. No, it's going to be great in Milwaukee next week. It's going to be a blast. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. Just the question is, you know, obviously, will we still be talking about this by next week or not? I don't know. I have no idea. I just don't think the big boy press conference is going to turn it around. So, all right, so how do we? What's the bet? What's the bet? Let's make it interesting.
I got to think of something.
All right, well, think of something.
All right, I know what I want if I win.
What's that?
A homemade pizza.
Okay, done.
I don't have anything
to offer. Who do you want
to
make it?
You, obviously.
Oh, me. Oh,
yeah.
Me. All right.
I've never had the Zioli homemade pizza.
All right, that can be arranged. You should have had it by now anyway, but all right, done. If I win, I want $1,000.
All right, I'm out.
That's how confident I am. Just saying.
Thank you.
Now let's play this clip for you. Let's see here. I got this. This is John Fetterperson. John Fetterperson, who is supporting Joe Biden, says that he didn't even watch the debate. But he also makes the other point, too, which is if debates were so important, I wouldn't be standing right now at the rotunda talking to you as a senator. Let's start with that one, actually, because it kind of carries on what David Urban and I were talking about in the previous segment, cut number five.
Here's where we are back now. And the question that I would ask to anyone watching this right now, the economy has been a banger under Joe Biden's presidency. And it's
Better
been
person.
Incredible after a lot of people were thinking that it was going to be a cratering and it was a recession. And that's just not true. So what would you rather have, the kinds of an economy that Joe Biden helped brought us, or the fact that he had a rough debate and nobody knows what a rough debate is like after myself? And it's also another, it's a fact. Debates do not determine who's going to win. Whether it was Clinton, you know, wiped Trump out. And of course, she didn't win. And of course, Obama really lost badly in a debate. And of course, he won. And even if you go back to Kerry as well, too, it's just not statistically
Senator.
Meaningful about the debates. And if debates were that important, I wouldn't be standing right now at the rotunda talking to you as a senator. I would have a lot more free time in my schedule right now.
Senator, so, the issue is
and
that
I'm proud
people are
to
saying...
stand here for the president, and I'm going to do that later during this lunch. And I'm coming in ready to that, and I think we're going to have other people to defend the president.
Now, it's important to understand that the point that David Urban made before, which is great, which is that it's a great point. By the time Fetterperson got on that debate stage, 1.5 million votes had already been cast. I remember going on America's Newsroom the next morning, and Dana Perino asked me about the debate performance. And I said, but Dana, here's the key. Early voting in Pennsylvania has already happened. It's already started. Millions of people have already voted. I don't know if this debate's going to change that much. It should. I just don't know if it will. This was a debate in June. And Fetterperson knows that. This is a debate in June, not the end of October after early voting's already started, after it's too late to make a change. Because even if you wanted to make a change at the end of October, logistically, it'd be impossible at that point once voting's begun. So, and also, too, here's the other thing. John Fetterman's not president. He's not the commander in chief. He's a senator. He won the race in an off year, but in a midterm year, 2022. So this is a much different scenario here. He won in 2022, and he also ran against Dr. Oz. And I think McCormick's a much better candidate than Oz was. I think he's running a better campaign by far. And this time around, you've got Trump. You got Trump running. So it's totally different scenario. Yeah, people, it's one thing to vote for a senator or a member of Congress. But when the president, you think about who is going to answer that phone at 3 a.m. If Fetterperson were running for president, there's no way he'd win. Because, again, people would wonder about his ability to do the job. I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. It's completely different scenario, U.S. Senate versus the presidency. You cannot equate the two. And he's leaving out the fact that early voting had already started. And, you know, CNBC should have pushed back on that fact. Like, but John, not for nothing, but by the time you got on that debate stage, 1.5 million votes had already been cast in early voting. But he actually said he didn't even watch the friggin' debate. He went on with Jesse Waters last night. He says he didn't even watch the debate. Cut number three.
You saw the debate, just like we all saw the debate. And that didn't change your mind about anything?
I was actually flying back from Israel at that point. And then when I landed and I started to get some of the text. And then at that point, I realized that I really wanted to get on social media and defend our president after that. And that's what I decided to do. But of course, I mean, I know you and your viewers know that I had a really rough debate as well, too.
Yes.
But I really want to remind anybody that I'm not... Not the sum total of a bad debate.
You didn't see Joe Biden's entire debate against Donald Trump?
I didn't. I saw the you know, perhaps the ones, the most difficult ones, of course. But for me, and I know a lot of the people typically that are watching Fox, you know, realize that Donald Trump may have had a great day and a great debate on that. But what I do would like to remind people that some people thought that Donald Trump may have had some of the kinds of difficulty that perhaps Joe Biden, but he was saying things that were untrue, or he was saying things that really, I think, aren't really consistent with some of the values of a majority of people. But it was out of doubt that Joe Biden didn't have a great debate. But to me, I think that he's going to be our best. He already beat Trump. And I think this is our best opportunity to defeat Trump again.
You're the only person who thinks that. You're literally the only person who thinks that in the world, by the way. But thank God that John Fetterman gets to go on Jesse Waters, and I don't, because he's canceled on me twice. And not for nothing, Matt DeSantis, but how come Jesse Waters Booker could get Fetterman on there, but you can't get Fetterman on this show?
Well, they did respond to me. It was,
what'd they say?
Just not a positive response. It was, I believe their exact quote was, "Thank you, but we won't be proceeding with this request."
Wusses. Bunch of cowards. Is it because I call him Fetter Person? I'm trying to leave gender out of it.
Didn't help, I'm sure. I mean, they didn't.
I'm trying to be gender inclusive.
They didn't cite his nickname explicitly, but I'm sure it didn't help.
Well, if
we're at the DNC convention in August, maybe that'll be our opportunity.
There you go. There you go. If we're there in August,
he'll probably still say no, but.
Well, on that note, by the way, let me just mention Carlos Danger, Anthony Weiner, sent his congratulations to his ex-wife, Huma Abedin, on her engagement with Alex Soros. Let me just echo that by saying congratulations again to Huma Abedin and Alex Soros. And I want to remind that Anthony Weiner was her first husband.
Odd choice.
And also 10 years older than her, and he's a billionaire. So
I don't get it.
But
didn't she used to date Bradley Cooper too?
I don't know if that's true. Is that true?
I think it is.
Hang on, can I have that sloppy seconds over there real quick? There's a cake. Thanks. Can you bring that up? What? Okay. So is that true? Bradley Cooper?
I don't believe that's true.
That's not true.
Sure.
No.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Bradley Cooper's dating history. And there she is. Only for like a month. That may not actually be.
You know why? Because he sat there and went, wait a minute, you were married to Carlos Danger? So I'd be your sloppy seconds? I'd be his. You'd be his. Yeah, no. However that scenario goes, I'm out.
Man,
I'm Bradley freaking Cooper. No.
What a great list for Bradley Cooper, aside from maybe one name.
Yeah.
Zoe Saldana. There's like four Victoria's Secret models on here. Renee Zellweger.
Ah, it's probably all a beard. It's probably all for show. You know what I mean?
I don't know. The guy's a stud.
Well, things are not always what they appear, my friend. I'm just saying. I'm just making the point. You know who's a stud, though, is Mike Opelka. He's coming on the show, right?
Well, I will say Bradley Cooper was not the subject of a Wall Street Journal op-ed. But
yeah, I'm sure he was
Mike
at one
Opelka
point.
Was.
But Mike Opelka was. And Mike Opelka also dated Zoe Saldana. I don't know if you know that or not. True story. No joke, folks. That's true. That's no joke. All right. John Fetterperson is crazy when he thinks that the best chance they have is with Joe Biden. But you know what? Let them keep thinking that. Let him think. My favorite was when, after George Clooney wrote that op-ed, the Biden campaign responded by saying that George Clooney left the event before Joe Biden. Jake Tapper could not believe that that was actually a thing, that they actually tried to go there to suggest that, yeah, George Clooney doesn't have the stamina of Joe Biden. This is how Jake Tapper handled it. His reaction is everything. His facial expressions are great. I wish I could show them to you right now, but cut number 8.
In response to those comments from George Clooney, Jake, a campaign official who attended that Los Angeles fundraiser tells me that George Clooney left 3 hours before the president. So clearly the gloves are off, Jake.
What does that mean that George Clooney left 3 hours? What's the point?
The point of that is to suggest that Biden's stamina is better than Clooney's, and Clooney didn't have, you know, eyes on the entire event. That's the response to the Clooney op-ed.
Okay.
That's about the biggest load of BS I've ever heard. Okay. There you go. David Axelrod just came out a short time ago and said there's a lot more at stake in 2024. Well, actually, this is an older video. I'm sorry. I'm mistaken. But I just want to remind you what he said. Joe Biden's not winning this race. It's going to be a landslide. And the other thing, too, is that CNN's Harry Enten saying blue states like New York, Virginia, Minnesota and New Hampshire could be in play in the Biden-Trump election. Blue states. That's right. Blue states. I wonder if New Jersey is in that as well, since the latest poll shows almost a dead heat in New Jersey. Now, Chris Hayes, who's never in the same room as Rachel Maddow, unless they use CGI, Chris Hayes just came out a short time ago and said, this is not a scandal. The president has done nothing wrong. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. This is a huge scandal. This is a cover-up of the president's health. The big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaVeneria, VanariaDental.com. He just worked on my wife's smile. Bridget has a beautiful smile now, thanks to Dr. Mike. She did before, but she had to get her veneers replaced, and he replaced them with caps, and they look great. So she's really happy. VanariaDental.com. Good save there, Rich. That was a close one. Easy. That's why I'm a wordsmith. That's why I'm a wordsmith right there. Woof. So MSNBC's Chris Hayes says it's not a scandal. It's a huge scandal. This has been a cover-up. As Glenn Greenwald put it, the corporate press didn't fail to report on Biden's condition. They actively covered it up. That's right. They actively covered it up. And he's exactly right. This is a scandal. The media was in on it. The White House was in on it. Everybody knew what was happening, and they lied and they covered it up, because this is what these people do. This is what these people do, and they do it all the time. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Look, I want to mention something else. In addition to all this, there was another big hearing on Capitol Hill today, and thankfully, common sense prevailed. So this federal judge was nominated, and Judge Sarah Netburn was nominated by President Biden to the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. And at one point, this judge had decided to move a sex offender who was a transgender woman to a women's prison. Even Democrat Senator John Ossoff of Georgia ultimately ended up voting against her confirmation. And the judge did not get confirmed. But I want to play this clip for you. This is Dick Durbin, little Dickie, defending Biden's judicial nominee who sent this trans male rapist to a female prison. And this guy is now reportedly exposing himself to inmates. Let me just say for the record that if I was ever convicted of anything and sent to prison, I would 100% identify as a woman. The minute the judge banged the gavel down and said I was guilty, I'd say I'm a woman just to go to women's prison. 100%. What straight guy wouldn't is my question. I'm not going to survive in men's prison. I have zero chance. 0.0 chance I survive. I have no strength. I have no street skills whatsoever. I'm a dead man. But in a women's prison, my charm, my olive oil voice and my blank, you know, my charm, I can survive that. I'm just saying I could survive that. I could do that. So I think every guy be in the same boat. So you just identify as a woman. Now I'm going to women's prison. Watch me. Have fun. It's me and a bunch. Now, I mean, a lot of them might be tougher than I am, granted, but still. I like my odds. I'll take my chances. Here's Durbin defending this judicial nominee, cut 23.
Because the facts alleged here are beyond disturbing. So that would be my request.
Thank you, Senator Graham. In the case involving JJS versus Plyler, Judge Netburn considered an incarcerated person's petition for a writ of habeas corpus. The petitioner, a transgender woman, had been convicted of multiple serious sex offenses, including child molestation, rape, and distribution of child pornography. Judge Netburn concluded that the Bureau of Prisons had violated the petitioner's Eighth Amendment rights by refusing to transfer her to a woman's facility. Accordingly, Judge Netburn recommended granting the petition in part and ordering the petitioner's immediate transfer to a women's facility. Her report and recommendation was subsequently adopted in full by the district court. As Judge Netburn herself has noted, the crimes the petitioner committed were horrific. But as she testified at her hearing and further explained in her written responses to questions for record, each of the three wardens who supervised the petitioner supported the transfer request. The district judge adopted Judge Netburn's report and recommendation in full, concluding it was, quote, thorough, detailed, and well-reasoned. The district judge then ordered the Bureau of Prisons to transfer the petitioner to a female facility. Notably, the Bureau of Prisons did not move for a stay or otherwise challenge the district court's order. From what I can see, Judge Netburn did the right thing in applying the facts and the law to the case before her to the best of her ability, and the district judge agreed with her analysis. That is why we should want and expect from that is what we should want and expect from any nominee who comes before this committee or service on the federal bench. Are there any comments? Any other comments?
If I may, Mr. Chairman,
of course.
Others would like to speak. Thank you very much. I think this is relevant information as to how we should vote. We objected to the whole idea of sending a 6'2 biological male to a female prison for this very reason.
Yes, for this very reason. Because biological men are men. You can call them trans women all you want, and this guy should not be in a women's facility, and it's not fair to the women. I mean, women prisoners have rights. Female prisoners have rights. And their rights to be safe in the facility, there's a constitutional right to that, bottom line. And they're not safe in this facility because this dude wound up raping a woman in a women's prison. Here's Senator Mike Lee, who did a great job today, along with Senator Ted Cruz. Cut 22.
Look, this isn't just another episode in the ongoing culture kampf over whether or not someone who identifies as female can be treated for one purpose or another as female. This is a question of public safety. And we do have to remember that what happened here was that Judge Netburn reached a conclusion under the Constitution, concluded that under the Eighth Amendment, it was unconstitutional for the Bureau of Prisons to not send this prisoner to a prison specifically for women. So that's a pretty big move to overturn the decided judgment of experts in the field who at any given moment are incarcerating in the federal system, I think a couple hundred thousand inmates, and to say It would be unconstitutional to not send this person, a biological male, 6 feet, 2 inches tall, who had lived as a man for, as I understand it, 52, 53 years before identifying as a woman. So that's a pretty significant decision in and of itself. Then you get to the question of public safety. Look, no matter how much this prisoner might think of that prisoner, when that prisoner looks in the mirror as a female, that person has long ago gone through puberty and acquired the secondary sex characteristics typical of males. Males have different centers of gravity. They have different amounts of bone density, of muscle mass. And this provides some competitive advantages in certain circumstances. And when you're putting people in prison, let's think about this from the standpoint of the other prisoners. If you want to start talking about cruel and unusual punishment under the Eighth Amendment, let's worry about what we're doing to the women in that facility.
Exactly.
Who I'm just guessing. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm just guessing. If you took a poll of the women in that prison, I'm guessing there would be overwhelming, if not unanimous, support for the fact that they don't want to be incarcerated with a man. And in fact, I think it's cruel and unusual punishment to subject them to that. Now, just look at this report that came out.
Now, just for the sake of time, I'll jump in here. he's right about that. And thank God the judge was not confirmed. So that's good. Good job by the Senate Judiciary Committee. Even a Democrat senator voted against the nomination. Just nuts. The other good news is that the House today voted to overturn Biden's executive mandates on the rewriting of Title IX to say biological dudes could be in women's spaces and play on women's teams and women's locker rooms and everything else. So good job by the House of Representatives today. That's some breaking news on the show. They have overturned it in the House. Now, it's supposed to go through the Senate, but either way, the best way to overturn that is to have Trump become president, because he has already said he will overturn that on day number one. No doubt about that. So that's good. All right. We got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up for you, including 30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by our great friends at the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. But I want to tell you, you know, Bridget has a beautiful new smile thanks to her friend and my friend and our family dentist, Dr. Mike Venere. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, trust Dr. Mike Venaria to give you the smile that you deserve. A beautiful, beautiful smile. That's what Dr. Mike will do for you and your family. For 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been rated as a master of dental implants among his peers. They've recognized him for that. I was just with him yesterday. He was fitting me for a new mouth guard. He's a great guy, and we had a great conversation about the state of the world. Great music playing in the office, and the people that work there are all wonderful, dedicated to your care. So reach out to him today at VenariaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Trust my dentist. Trust my friend. Trust the master of dental implants. If you've been putting off going to a dentist, stop putting it off. And if you need to get dental work done, then reach out to him today. Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app. Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the Odyssey app.
Look, I want to mention something else. In addition to all this, there was another big hearing on Capitol Hill today, and thankfully, common sense prevailed. So this federal judge was nominated, and Judge Sarah Netburn was nominated by President Biden to the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. And at one point, this judge had decided to move a sex offender who was a transgender woman to a women's prison. Even Democrat Senator John Ossoff of Georgia ultimately ended up voting against her confirmation. And the judge did not get confirmed. But I want to play this clip for you. This is Dick Durbin, Little Dickie, defending Biden's judicial nominee who sent this trans male rapist to a female prison. And this guy is now reportedly exposing himself to inmates. Let me just say for the record that if I was ever convicted of anything and sent to prison, I would 100% identify as a woman. The minute the judge banged the gavel down and said I was guilty, I'd say I'm a woman just to go to women's prison. 100%. What straight guy wouldn't is my question. I'm not going to survive in men's prison. I have zero chance. 0.0 chance I survive. I have no strength. I have no street skills whatsoever. I'm a dead man. But in a women's prison, my charm, my olive oil voice and my blank, you know, my charm, I can survive that. I'm just saying I could survive that. I could do that. So I think every guy be in the same boat. So you just identify as a woman. Now I'm going to women's prison. Watch me. Have fun. It's me and a bunch. Now, I mean, a lot of them might be tougher than I am, granted, but still, I like my odds. I'll take my chances. Here's Durbin defending this judicial nominee. Cut 23.
Because the facts alleged here are beyond disturbing. So that would be my request.
Thank you, Senator Graham. In the case involving JJS versus Plyler, Judge Netburn considered an incarcerated person's petition for a writ of habeas corpus. The petitioner, a transgender woman, had been convicted of multiple serious sex offenses, including child molestation, rape, and distribution of child pornography. Judge Netburn concluded that the Bureau of Prisons had violated the petitioner's Eighth Amendment rights by refusing to transfer her to a woman's facility. Accordingly, Judge Netburn recommended granting the petition in part and ordering the petitioner's immediate transfer to a women's facility. Her report and recommendation was subsequently adopted in full by the district court. As Judge Netburn herself has noted, the crimes the petitioner committed were horrific. But as she testified at her hearing and further explained in her written responses to questions for record, each of the three wardens who supervised the petitioner supported the transfer request. The district judge adopted Judge Netburn's report and recommendation in full, concluding it was, quote, thorough, detailed, and well-reasoned. The district judge then ordered the Bureau of Prisons to transfer the petitioner to a female facility. Notably, the Bureau of Prisons did not move for a stay or otherwise challenge the district court's order. From what I can see, Judge Netburn did the right thing in applying the facts and the law to the case before her to the best of her ability, and the district judge agreed with her analysis. That is why we should want and expect from that is what we should want and expect from any nominee who comes before this committee or service on the federal bench. Are there any comments? Any other comments?
If I may, Mr. Chairman,
of course.
Others would like to speak. Thank you very much. I think this is relevant information as to how we should vote. We objected to the whole idea of sending a 6'2 biological male to a female prison for this very reason.
Yes, for this very reason. Because biological men are men. You can call them trans women all you want, and this guy should not be in a women's facility, and it's not fair to the women. I mean, women prisoners have rights. Female prisoners have rights. And their rights to be safe in the facility, there's a constitutional right to that, bottom line. And they're not safe in this facility because this dude wound up raping a woman in a women's prison. Here's Senator Mike Lee, who did a great job today, along with Senator Ted Cruz. Cut 22.
Look, this isn't just another episode in the ongoing culture kampf over whether or not someone who identifies as female can be treated for one purpose or another as female. This is a question of public safety. And we do have to remember that what happened here was that Judge Netburn reached a conclusion under the Constitution, concluded that under the Eighth Amendment, it was unconstitutional for the Bureau of Prisons to not send this prisoner to a prison specifically for women. So that's a pretty big move to overturn the decided judgment of experts in the field who at any given moment are incarcerating in the federal system, I think a couple hundred thousand inmates, and to say
It would be unconstitutional to not send this person, a biological male, 6 feet, 2 inches tall, who had lived as a man for, as I understand it, 52, 53 years before identifying as a woman. So that's a pretty significant decision in and of itself. Then you get to the question of public safety. Look, no matter how much this prisoner might think of that prisoner, when that prisoner looks in the mirror as a female, that person has long ago gone through puberty and acquired the secondary sex characteristics typical of males. Males have different centers of gravity. They have different amounts of bone density, of muscle mass. And this provides some competitive advantages in certain circumstances. And when you're putting people in prison, let's think about this from the standpoint of the other prisoners. If you want to start talking about cruel and unusual punishment under the Eighth Amendment, let's worry about what we're doing to the women in that facility.
Exactly.
Who I'm just guessing. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm just guessing. If you took a poll of the women in that prison, I'm guessing there would be overwhelming, if not unanimous, support for the fact that they don't want to be incarcerated with a man. And in fact, I think it's cruel and unusual punishment to subject them to that. Now, just look at this report that came out.
Now, just for the sake of time, I'll jump in here. he's right about that. And thank God the judge was not confirmed. So that's good. Good job by the Senate Judiciary Committee. Even a Democrat senator voted against the nomination. Just nuts. The other good news is that the House today voted to overturn Biden's executive mandates on the rewriting of Title IX to say biological dudes could be in women's spaces and play on women's teams and women's locker rooms and everything else. So good job by the House of Representatives today. That's some breaking news on the show. They have overturned it in the House. Now, it's supposed to go through the Senate, but either way, the best way to overturn that is to have Trump become president, because he has already said he will overturn that on day number one. No doubt about that. So that's good. All right. We got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up for you, including 30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by our great friends at the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. But I want to tell you, Bridget has a beautiful new smile thanks to her friend and my friend and our family dentist, Dr. Mike Venaria. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, trust Dr. Mike Venaria to give you the smile that you deserve. A beautiful, beautiful smile. That's what Dr. Mike will do for you and your family. For 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been rated as a master of dental implants among his peers. They've recognized him for that. I was just with him yesterday. He was fitting me for a new mouth guard. He's a great guy, and we had a great conversation about the state of the world. Great music playing in the office, and the people that work there are all wonderful, dedicated to your care. So reach out to him today at VenariaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Trust my dentist. Trust my friend. Trust the master of dental implants. If you've been putting off going to a dentist, stop putting it off. And if you need to get dental work done, then reach out to him today. Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.